A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." But they said, "Is this not Jesus, son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me should draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' And everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who has come from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert and they died. But this is the bread that came down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Our gospel readings for 4 weeks are all taken from chapter 6 in the book of John. And some of you who were at Mass, as I did in the last 2 weeks, will have heard reflections on the Eucharistic theology given to us in chapter 6 in the Gospel of John. So let me recover, for the benefit of those who did not hear the last 2 Sundays, one or two exegetical observations about chapter 6. This is the only miracle which appears in all 4 Gospels, and therefore clearly it has an anchor, a significance beyond all other teachings. Especially the Eucharist has a central place in our belief and in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, he does not have the Eucharist at the Last Supper. In John's Gospel, Jesus does not take bread and take wine. "This is my body and my blood." That appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but not in John. In John's Gospel, you have the washing of the feet, which is found only in the Gospel of John. And therefore, the Eucharistic theology in John's Gospel is found here in chapter 6. And so it gets the last 2 Sundays. Next Sunday, we have the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But the Sunday after that, we'll be back again in chapter 6 of John's Gospel. And on that Sunday, there is a very clear statement about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We'll deal with that 2 Sundays hence. But for these moments, let me speak about the pastoral understanding and experience of the Eucharist. Putting all 4 Gospels, speaking about the feeding of the multitude, which is the venue of John's Eucharistic teaching. It says, "Jesus saw the multitude who were hungry, and he felt compassion for them." He was not impressed by their faith. He was not impressed that they came to see a miracle. He felt compassion for them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were somehow lost. And out of compassion, Jesus feeds their needs. The compassionate heart of Jesus saw their hungers. Timothy Radcliffe, the English theologian who was formerly the Master General of the Dominican Order, which means he was ahead of the Dominicans in the worldwide, he likes to tell this story. Some years ago, he was welcoming Pope John Paul II to the Dominican University in Rome called the Angelicum. John Paul was a graduate of the Angelicum. And Timothy Radcliffe rehearsed some Polish greeting, some words in Polish to greet the Polish Pope. But he was quite unsure about the words he was using, how accurate they were in the language of the Pope. So after he had greeted the Pope in his best effort in Polish, he apologized to the Pope and he said, "Holy Father, I don't think my Polish is very good, but you know what I mean." And the Pope answered, he said, "When the heart listens, the mind understands." When the heart listens, the mind understands. It's the compassionate Christ. And the hungers of the multitude represent the hungers of our lives. The brokenness, the struggles, the confusion, the searching. And we go to the compassionate Christ who sees with the heart. The compassionate heart is of special interest to us here. Either you're born with a compassionate heart. Now, some people are just naturally compassionate. They're soft, they're open, they're broken, they understand. You can't learn a compassionate heart from the catechism or from the code of canon law. You can't learn to have a compassionate heart. Either you're born with it or it's acquired. And it's acquired through our failure, through our struggles, through our sins, through our need for forgiveness, our need to be fed. It's born out of the hungers of our lives, so that conscious of our own failings, conscious of our own sins, we understand the failings and the sins of others. You won't learn that. You have to experience that. And when you experience your own hunger and your own brokenness, it will cultivate the compassionate heart. And that's what appears in this Eucharistic event, which we celebrate, the compassionate heart of Jesus, calling us to belong to him in our brokenness. In some ways, I have thought that the Eucharist and prayer are aligned together in understanding. Prayer is not something we do. Prayer is something we allow. We begin our Mass by saying, pause for a moment of silence, to allow ourselves to be conscious of God's presence. All prayer must begin with our awareness of God's presence. Otherwise, we're just talking and talking and talking. We're not conscious of God's presence. All prayer has to begin in silence. And therefore, the words which we articulate are a response to our awareness of God's presence. Eucharist is like that. We enter into the presence of God, and the great, great act of faith through our prayer and the words spoken the miracle happens. We don't make the miracle happen. God makes the miracle happen. We listen, we receive, we're gifted, we're blessed with the miracle. We're open to the miracle. It's our brokenness that makes us open to the miracle. It's our need, our hunger, that draws us to Jesus Christ to be blessed, to be gifted, to be healed, to be encouraged in the power of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So we're drawn to the Eucharist. We don't make it happen. We experience it. God makes it happen. St. Augustine reminds us, speaking about the Eucharist, that behold who you are and become what you receive, says Augustine. Become the Eucharist which you receive. Become the bread which is broken. Become the blood which is poured out. Become the Eucharist which you receive. Now, Holy Family, our mission statement says, we are a Catholic Eucharistic community that welcomes all people. We connect faith to life. What does this mean? We're a Eucharistic people. Eucharist is not something in the moment. It's a lifestyle. We're a Eucharistic people. We live the Eucharist, says Augustine. Become what you receive. Live as a Eucharistic person. How will we see this? Well, we could see it in our families. We could see it as we gather around the tables of our homes. We live in such a divided, broken world, divided by the arrogance of certainty. Not too long ago, I had dinner with a nice family who belonged to our community. The parents and three adult children. And the parents were here, and I was here, and the three children were there. And of course, somebody brought up politics. Wow. And the father says, well, what do you know? You don't pay taxes. You don't know what you're talking about. And of course, the young people are saying, well, we have a different world. I mean, it was like a war. Eucharistic people. Tell me. Tell me about the bread that's broken, about the blood which is poured out. In conflict, in the arrogance of control and the arrogance of certainty, we are so divided. We have to dominate, we have to control, we have to convince. We're not servants, we're masters. The compassionate heart is not the heart that I saw. It even happens in the church. People who are traditional sometimes make severe judgments about those who are not traditional, and those who are not traditional make severe judgments and divide it against those who are. And we call ourselves Eucharistic people. So how do we live the Eucharist? How do we witness to the world that we have been blessed in the power of Jesus Christ? We have been gifted by the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ. How do we show the world that we are called to be Eucharistic people? We witness this to the world by our compassion, our understanding, our forgiveness, our patience, our generosity. How do we go forth from Holy Family and say to the world, we are a welcoming Eucharistic community connecting faith to life, even in our own community? We hurt one another. We make judgments about one another. We say, you're welcome and you're not welcome. You fit and you don't. You qualify and you do not qualify. And still we call ourselves a Eucharistic people, a welcoming community. How do we bring the Eucharist to life? It's not a moment of receiving communion. It's a lifestyle empowered by Jesus Christ, the body and blood of Jesus Christ given to us in the Eucharist, empowered by our faith in the presence of Jesus Christ, calling us to be witness to the world that we are Eucharistic people. Most of you will be familiar with the name Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a Nobel laureate, of course. He died in 2008. And he wrote what Jordan Peterson calls the most important book in the 20th century, called The Gulag Archipelago. And you will require a lot of patience and fervor to read it. It's long. It's defining, however. Solzhenitsyn was Russian extraordinary literature. And as a young man, he was a devout member of the Orthodox Christian Church in Russia. But he outgrew that in his young adulthood. He became an atheist. And then he went to the Gulag. He was sentenced. He was 13 years in one way or the other in imprisonment. He was sent to the Gulag for 8 years, a labor camp where he suffered greatly. And all of this is recorded in the Gulag Archipelago. And in this book, he testifies. When I was young, he said, when I was a young man, I had the answers to everything. I was certain, and I had systematic arguments to support my certainty. I knew that I was right, and therefore, he said, I was a tyrant. And only on rotten prison straw in the Gulag, when I was broken, I was empty, hungry, impoverished, did I become enlightened about the true meaning of life. I had to suffer. I had to be rejected. I had to be impoverished. I had to be alone. I had to suffer before I understood the meaning of following Jesus Christ. And therefore, after the Gulag, he becomes a devout Christian again. I wondered about that. Do we need to suffer? Do we need to sacrifice? Do we need to gift the things we hold so dear, the things to which we cling? Do we need to share more? Do we need to listen more? Do we need to cultivate the compassionate heart of Christ in order to understand the Eucharist and what it means? The heart that listens gives us a mind which understands. Have a listening heart, a compassionate heart. And we will have a deeper understanding of the experience of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Amen. Lord, may the Eucharist which you give us bring us to salvation. Keep us faithful to the light of your truth. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We shall go now in peace to love and to serve the Lord and one another. Have a great day.
Please join us as we send forth with Now is the Time, number 509.